You know, I don't think a person can sense the unity of the body of Christ as when we have the breaking of bread. And I heard something so fantastic. It happened at the Global Day of Prayer, when somebody stood up at the stage and he said, "We are all from different denominations and different churches. And I want you to stand up and shout as loud as you can the name of your church or denomination." So everybody stood up and they shouted. And it sounded like the confusion of the power of the Tower of Babel. And everybody laughed. And then he said, "All right. Now at the count of three, I want you to shout Jesus." And everybody shouted Jesus. And there was dead silence. And people started praising God. Because what God, using the simplest of emblems, just to explain what it is all about. The whole gospel, the power of the gospel, is in the simplicity. And I really, I must confess that this morning, I even said to my brother, it's one of those mornings when I really did not know what to share with you. And then the Holy Spirit and my dear wife reminded me that God, that Jesus just told stories. And that is what I have decided to tell you. I believe that the Lord is leading me to tell you a few stories this morning. I'm going to read to you from Luke 13. Luke 13 from verse 11. Or verse 10. It says, Jesus heals on the Sabbath. This one Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. "There are 6 days of the week for working," he said to the crowd. "Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath." But the Lord replied, "You hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath?" This shamed his enemies, but all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did. The simplicity of the gospel. And if I can give a title to my message this morning to you, is Just Do It. Just do it. Now, this is an excellent example of the religious world versus the Christian world. Religion is very dangerous. Religion would rather debate about healing rather than set or heal the person. Religion would rather argue about deliverance than setting the person or somebody free. Now here in this scripture in Luke 13, Jesus healed a woman who had been bowed over for 18 years. Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham, set free after being bound for nearly 2 decades by the devil. You would think that the temple rulers would have been rejoicing at what Jesus had done. But no, they were angry because he had done it on the wrong day. But you know what is worse? Those same temple rulers, those religious leaders who criticized Jesus for healing on the Sabbath, they could have ministered healing to that woman on any of the other 6 days of the week if they only had cared enough to do so. That is why Jesus was so indignant with them. They had the same covenant of Abram as Jesus had. But their religion had kept that woman bound instead of setting her free. Religion always does that. My brothers and sisters, don't ever get sidetracked into a religious debate about healing or deliverance or any other problem that you are faced with. If someone needs to be delivered from a demon, just do it. Don't get confused over questions about where the demon is. Is the person being oppressed or is it being possessed? While we are arguing about these questions like that, the demon will be driving that poor guy up the wall. The question is not where is the demon. The question is, why haven't we got our brother delivered? Because he is our blood brother in Christ and ought to be free. Once you start asking that question, you won't care whether the devil is inside or outside or hovering or sitting under. All you care is getting that person delivered, getting him free. You see, religion argues, but love acts. Now, what Acts 1 verse 8, he says, Jesus says, be my witnesses. And St. Augustine said the well-known words, he says, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And we have a saying that deeds speak louder than words. Now, I've got an old favorite song. Now, this song was composed long before most of you were born. You know, I'm some from the golden oldie days. But the words of the song, the verse or the chorus goes like this. It's loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends. And then he says, we tend to make it harder. We build steeples out of stone, filling books with explanations of the way. Yet if you would stop and listen, you would hear him say, it's loving God, loving each other, and love acts. Just to be. Not performance. To try and perform and work for God is hard work, my brothers and sisters. And I'll tell you what, these are days to learn more perfectly how to enter into his rest and cease from programs that make us seem as a church to be successful in our own eyes. For when I relax and become co-worker with Christ, take his yoke upon me and learn from him, then life becomes such an exciting journey. Now, when Delesi and I first got the call to go to Ukraine and Russia, the missions organization, Mission Emmanuel, in Kiev, they wrote me a letter inviting us to come. And then they asked me this question, what is your ministry? Now, listen, you must be, believe me, we got saved in 1970 and we started doing what we found to do. If I needed to clean the toilets, I cleaned the toilets. If I had to work in the garden, I worked in the garden. If I had to go and preach, I would preach. If I had to pray for the sick, I would pray for the sick. I would counsel. I would do anything I could find. I never bothered about a ministry. I realized there is such a thing. But it never bothered me. I did whatever I could find. So What must I answer these people? What is your ministry? So I wrote them. I'm a very emotional guy, and I cry easily. And my wife has a very infectious laughter. And I sent off. So I got the reply back, come, we think we can use your ministry. But brothers and sisters, you cannot be unless you have a personal, intimate relationship. As we heard this morning, a personal, intimate relationship with the bridegroom of the church, Jesus Christ. That was my biggest and foremost lesson I was taught by the Holy Spirit before I could hope to be a witness on the mission field and at home. Because I realized now that out of my relationship with Him would flow all these other ministries. But my first priority is to love Him and to know Him through experience. I was always seeking the gifts instead of the giver. Because once we have the giver, we will have all the gifts and the ministries. Galatians 1:15, verse 16, but when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, nothing gives Father so much joy than to see His Son revealed in us. To see God's character and His personality and His nature becoming evident in the lives of His children. My brothers and sisters, I like what Dutch Sheets said. He said, we are a shadow of Christ. A shadow is a print of the original. He says that if we walk past an angel, the angel would look twice because he thought that was Jesus walking past him. And somebody said this beautiful thing. He said, wherever we move, we create sacred space. Amen. Wherever we move, we create sacred space. Isn't that awesome? True Christianity, my brothers and sisters, is nothing less than total commitment. Death kills everything. To die to self until all that is left in me is His glory, His character, His personality, His nature. We have to die to all our desires, all our plans, ambitions, riches, until it does not matter whatever God wants to do with your life. To be Christ to others. Nothing gives me so much pleasure when we are on the mission field as to see how my wife makes contact with unbelievers, the sinners. It is a joy to see how she just naturally does that. She's really mastered this idea of just do it. Sometimes I'm very embarrassed the way she does it, and you know, and I try to stick my head in the sand, but she does it, and I'm amazed at the results. One day we were on a bus. Now, our taxis here have still got to learn how to fill a taxi. They must go to the Ukraine, and then they will see, because they're in the Ukraine, you're allowed to stand as well, so they pack them in. Nobody's left behind. Everybody gets in. So we're in this huge bus, and there's the conductor lady. She's coming up the passage, but it's so full, she's got to fight her way, and she's arguing with the young people who do not want to pay because they haven't got money, and they shout back to her, you tell the government to give us jobs, and then we will pay for our bus tickets. And she's fighting, and eventually she's right in front of us, and she just sort of huffs and she puffs. All the less, she had the right change in her hand, the right amount of money for the tickets, and then she had a few hard-boiled sweets. So she took the conductor's hand, opened it, put the sweets and the tickets into her hand. She closed the hand. This woman looked at it, she huffed and she walked on. So 10 days later, we're on the same bus. The same procedure. Here she comes down the passage. She's fighting with everybody. She's about from here to Derek from us. And she looks up and she sees Delesti. She just threw her money bag and all the tickets in the air. She rushed to Delesti and she grabbed her. And they were hugging and exchanging telephone numbers and addresses. And Delesti was saying, come to my office. I've got a present, South African tea. It was rooibos. And come and enjoy it. And everybody was just standing amazed. But that totally changed the whole atmosphere in that bus. Another story. Once we had a group from South Africa coming to visit us. About 10 people from a very charismatic church. And an old lady, Auntie Isabel, she heard about this tour on the radio. And she wanted to come along. So she was in her 70s, a very stately woman, you know. So they brought her along. There she arrived. She's got this lovely bola here and a long dress, but a pair of Nike, white Nike tackies, because you heard that in Ukraine you've got to walk long distances. So she comes from a very staunch Dutch Reformed church. So the leader of the group said, well, I've just brought Auntie Isabel. There's your gift. I said, no. We're not here to look after old women. I said, you take her along with you. If she does give you problems, just phone me and we'll send her back to me. So they went to this very charismatic Ukrainian church. And pastor preached there and he made an invitation and just about the whole church responded. So he got this whole team to start ministering with him. And virtually each one of them had their own interpreter except Tani Isabel. So they were praying and carrying on. And Tani Isabel stood there. She said, well, I will just join in. I'll just do it. I'll pray in Afrikaans for them. And eventually it looked like a battlefield around Tani Isabel. Wherever she walked, people just dropped. And there was being delivered. And here the charismatics were shaking the people and speaking in tongues and nothing happening. And wherever Tani Isabel went, people just dropped to the floor and God was you. Afterwards, she became the darling of the tour group. And nobody would minister unless Tani Isabel went in front. She just thought, well, that's the way God works in Ukraine. And she just did it. Oh, maybe I'll tell you another story. Because we have got so much to do with the South African embassy, we're just out there every week, you know, with passports and visas and whatnot. So they invited us for a party. We thought it was for the few South African missionaries. They invited us for a party. So the guys rocked up in their sportswear, track suits and tackies, and old Peter Gravenstein there, he had khaki pants with a t-shirt and suspenders, you know, walking like this. And when we got there, it was a party for all the South African businessmen present in the and all the ambassadors of all the embassies represented in the Ukraine. And here we, this motley group of of missionaries, and we didn't know what to do. But this must have been the first party that the embassy also gave, because they were all centered there in the entrance foyer, the whole staff, you know, welcoming the visitors. But when we went into the big hall, here people were staying two by two couples, man and husband. There's the Chinese ambassador, there's the Japanese one, there's the Italian, there's the French one. Next thing, my wife is gone. And there she goes. Next thing I see, she's got the Nigerian ambassador and his wife by the hand. And she leads him to the Ugandan ambassador and his wife. And they introduce him and they start chatting. Then she's got the Italian ambassador and his wife. And she takes him to the French ambassador. And she introduces them. And there's such a buzz. And everybody's so amazed at this wonderful new staff member of the South African Embassy. And the embassy staff is totally unaware of what is going on. And what a buzz. All of a sudden, there was life in the party. And the best part of it, of course, halfway through, the ambassador's wife comes and says, "Mrs. Bell, Mrs. Bell, call the South Africans. The pop and the water has arrived." Yeah. Brothers and sisters, never underestimate the impression you may make on others. Whose life have you touched today? Whose life did you touch last week? Now, I just want to give you a few tips. Be a person people can relate to. Number one, represent Jesus. Don't represent your church. This is the way we do it at our church. Your identity should not be in Shofar or any other church. Your identity should be in Christ. Yeah. He says, "Be my witnesses in all the world," Jesus said. Secondly, be a listener. Christians like talking. It is actually a major disease with us. There is a time to talk and share, but also a time to listen. In the book of James, it says, "Be quick to listen, but slow to speak." Especially people who do not relate to your church or your faith. I've heard an expression, "I've got such a good message, but nobody wants to listen to me." Maybe I should listen first. Give them a gift. Your time. Earn the respect. It is easy to relate to someone who is ready to hear. Isn't that the basic principle in counseling? It's 90% listening and only 10% that you speak. Third one is, use a language people can understand. Now, I've got a book at home. It's called Holy Humor. And I found this cartoon in there. It comes from Matthew 16. Jesus asked Peter, maybe you've heard this, but Jesus asked Peter, "Whom do men say I am?" And the cartoon went like this. Jesus, "Whom do men say that I am?" Peter, "You are the supernatural manifestation of the ontological ground of being, a new metaphysical rubric by which our leap of faith is channeled into helpful societal dialectics." Jesus says, "I am who?" And he straightaway charged him to tell no man concerning who he was. Someone said, God always plays the cookies on the lowest shelf so that everybody can reach them. You and I may feel overly impressed with ourselves for putting our ideas of vocabulary out of reach of average believers. But if we do, they will not have the equipment they need to fight the devil in their hour of crisis. My brothers and sisters, I have, everyday language. It's not a Christian jargon. Now, I've heard conversations speaking to unbelievers. "When I was still in the world, I was thinking fleshly." Now, this unbeliever thinks, "Now, I wonder where he is now and what is he now?" Or, the Lord spoke to me the other day. He's crazy. He speaks to God. Your language can separate. I have a few doctors in my family and my extended family, and they know very well that if they come and visit me or when I enter their conversation, they stop their highfalutin medical terms. They otherwise I feel left out of the conversation. They've got to use a language that I can understand. Now I found that as well in the shofar family. The shofar DNA. Oh, we're having a meeting where we discuss the XYZ, or we're having the DYD course. Have you heard YOMS speak? Youth with a Mission? Where have you been the last few years? Oh, I joined YWAM. Why BAM? Why SAM? He hasn't a clue what YWAM is. He said, oh, what were you doing at YWAM? Time to look intelligent. Well, what were you doing at YWAM? Oh, I did a DTS and then afterwards a SOE. Why not just plainly say, I went to Youth with a Mission where I did a disciple training school and afterwards I did a school of evangelism. My brothers and sisters, we are holy, that is separated, but we must be able to communicate. Just try reading the directions on a new VCR or a TV or a computer. They forget that we are not all electronic freaks. Number four, overcome prejudice about the church. They, outside, have their minds made up. They say Christians are boring. The way we dress and act, what we say, we have no style, mediocre, color is beige, nothing special. That is the image that they were presented with. But we should express what we believe in. Express the Lord. Number five, be friendly. We don't have time to be friendly. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Laat julle vriendelikheid aan alle mense bekend word. Die Here is naby. Nobody can be unfriendly to somebody who smiles. I was so blessed. Last weekend I flew to Joburg and then went on to Ermelo. Here at this airport, some miracle has taken place. And in Oor Tambo, some miracle has taken place. When I walked into the airport and I looked over the board, somebody came to me and said, sir, you look lost. Can I help you? I said, yes. And he took me virtually by hand, took me everywhere. Smiled. When I arrived in Oor Tambo, the same thing happened. They virtually took me wherever I wanted to be. So friendly. And immediately, my heart opened to him. If he wanted to evangelize me, I would have been open to evangelism. Princess Diana. How friendly she was. She was more liked by all. More than all the royal family and all the British politicians put together. People must be reached in their situations. We should stop acting like good people when we come to church. We are all full-time Christians, full-time, 24 hours a day. Do the same things at church, what you do at home, so that people can relate to you. The power of the gospel is in the simplicity. We have such preconceived ideas of how of being witnesses. My brother, sister, there is not another you in Franschhoek. God has placed you here with a specific purpose. And God wants to use you just as you are. So, just do it. I want to close with another parable. Remember I told you, a parable is a story that does not need to be true. But it is a story that is used to stress a point. And here it is. The name of the story is Lunch with God. It says, there once was a little boy who wanted to meet with God. And he knew that it was a long trip to where God lived. So he packed his suitcase with sandwiches, cookies and cool drinks. And he started his journey. When he had gone about three blocks, he met an old woman. She was sitting in the park, just staring at some pigeons. The boy sat down next to her and opened his suitcase. He was about to take a drink from his fruit juice when he noticed that the old lady looked very hungry, so he offered her a sandwich. She accepted it gratefully and smiled at him. Her smile was so pretty that the boy wanted to see it again. So he offered her some of his fruit juice. Once again, she smiled at him. The boy was delighted. They sat there in the afternoon, eating and smiling, but they never said a word. As it grew dark, the boy realized how tired he was, and he got up to leave. But before he had gone more than a few steps, he turned around, ran back to the old woman, and gave her a hug. She gave him her biggest smile ever. When the boy opened the door to his own house a short time later, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face. She asked him, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." Before his mom could respond, he added, "You know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her home. Her son was stunned by the look of peace on her face, and he asked, "Mother, what did you do today that made you so happy?" She replied, "I ate sandwiches and cookies in the park with God." Before her son could respond, she added, "You know, he's much younger than I expected." Brothers and sisters, too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. People come into our lives for a reason. For a season, maybe for a lifetime. Embrace all of them equally. I know there are times when we need to call in the specialists. We need to know the shortcomings in our own ministry. But my brothers and sisters, 90% of the time, 90% of the time, just do it. You say, "Lord, I cannot." But He who is in you says, "Yes, we can." I want to play you a short video clip. I know the sound is not always so good, but fortunately the words are written underneath. It's an old tune, but with brand new lyrics. We had the breaking of a bread this morning. The simplicity. Bread and wine to remind us of what Christ did for us and to remind us of Jesus. Listen to these words. "This is the longing of my heart." Each one of us have experienced this. The name of the song is "Then I Shall Live." Listen to these words. Kremra, mis kaart. Is this project on, Yanni? says, Lord, we've been so greatly loved that we would dare to love others too. We've been so forgiven of so much that we will forgive our brothers too. Thank you for this family of God. We bless you, Father. Then I shall live as one who's been set free. And Lord, the prayer of our hearts, feed a hungry world through us. In Jesus' name. My brothers and sisters, my friends, if there's anybody here, if there's anybody here who's never committed his life to Jesus, don't let this opportunity go by. This is your chance. There is no life, no life outside of Christ. There is no life that can compare with the life of Him, a sinner saved by grace. If there's anybody like that, please, as we leave, you can come forward. We'll be waiting here and we will pray for you. Any other need that there might be, please come forward and we will pray with you. In Jesus' name, be blessed.